Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on Three Women, Three Ways. We are the show that tackles some pretty difficult topics sometimes, and we talk a lot about domestic violence. And October happens to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And what we do during Domestic Violence Awareness Month is to let everybody know about domestic violence, how prevalent it is. We did a show last year about this time talking about the Breast Cancer Awareness Month and Domestic Violence Awareness Month coinciding, happening the same month. And, of course, breast cancer awareness is very, very important. I have lost two members of my family to breast cancer, so I have no issue with helping people understand what domestic violence is and breast cancer is and the full court press to help people understand it. But I do also understand that we need to increase awareness for domestic violence. And whereas the breast cancer awareness has the color pink and they do the pink ribbons, and they have a tremendous number of corporate partners who do the pink with them and then contribute anywhere from a large amount to a tiny amount of their business from their pink products to the breast cancer organization. With domestic violence, the color is purple. And we do purple ribbons, we do color purple, and our guest hasn't yet called in, but I want to make you aware of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Its executive director, Ruth Glenn, will be calling in shortly, I hope, and she is the director of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, which is a national organization that spearheads some wonderful programs and wonderful organizations, or wonderful statewide coalitions that helps people understand domestic violence. They work toward change, research, and they do all sorts of adding a voice to domestic violence awareness and domestic violence in general. Right now, the National Coalition is in Denver. They're out there where it's kind of a stronghold of domestic violence awareness, I think. What they are doing is helping to promote some ideas about letting people know about domestic violence. And if you are able to go to their website, it's ncadv.org. You'll find a link toward Domestic Violence Awareness Month, DVAM, resources and activities. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, first of all, is that Domestic Violence Awareness Month started with kind of a remembrance of women who were killed during domestic violence situations. And it started way back in 1981. So that's, 23 years ago. It's been around for quite some time, and yet has everyone heard of it? Is everyone aware of Domestic Violence Awareness Month? We're sure aware of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We see the pink everywhere we look. And again, I think that's great. But I also wish we could do as much to let people know about domestic violence and the color purple, which symbolizes it. Sometimes in the past 23 years, the Domestic Violence Awareness Month has been used to commemorate people who have died in domestic violence, and there's been plenty of them. I know for several years, there was a program called Silent Witness. I'm not clear whether they're still doing that, but basically what it is it's a card, a plywood cutout, life-size, of men, women, and children who have died as a result of domestic violence. And those cutouts were, I know here in Washington, Washington State Coalition had them for quite some time. And again, I'm not aware whether they still do or not. But it was what they would do is loan them out for different events, and people would just set up those silent witnesses to domestic violence, and it was so impressive to see that that crowd of cutouts representing all the people who have been killed by domestic violence. Ruth, are you with us?
I am. My apologies.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. That happens.
Yes.
I've been yammering on and on a little bit about the history of domestic violence and a program that we had out in Washington State, and I'm not clear whether we're still doing it or not. I haven't kept up with it. But it was called the Silent Witnesses. Have you heard? Yeah. Are the coalition still doing that?
The coalition, not the national coalition, not us. We've moved to social media this year. I'm hoping that one day we will revive that particular activity. It's so powerful. I remember the Silent Witness, and I remember the T-shirt project as well. Both of those were really quite powerful.
Mm. And Silent Witnesses, I think, and again, I may be making a big presumption here, but I think that they're costly to produce because they're made out of plywood and they're, you know, they use those special saws where they can make shapes. And I sound like a real handyman, don't I? Those special saws that can make
shapes. Right. Well, and I guess
you know what I mean.
I think people across the United States that picked up the project got really creative and began to use different kind of materials that would withstand October weather, so to speak. So, yes, more plywood, more, I forget what the material is called, but it's the heavy-duty poster board. You just put a dowel on it, and so people got really creative because the National Coalition wasn't the only one that did the Silent Witness Project. Many of the states picked it up and did their own versions. Particularly,
but sadly, I think when I last heard about it, and again, I am not part of the commemorative from our Washington State Coalition, but I believe part of the issue was, first of all, they were heavy and cumbersome to transport.
Yes.
But also, as the years went on, we needed more and more, unfortunately.
Yes.
And which is very sad. So hopefully somebody out there is doing that, because as I remember one year at our Washington State Capitol on the grounds there, they set the Silent Witnesses up, and oh my goodness, it just was had such an impact on everyone who was able to see that. All these people, you know, all of these silhouettes out there on the lawn, and there were so many of them. It was very impressive.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You mentioned that the National Coalition is doing more social media. Would you explain what you're doing with that?
Sure. So this year, for various and sundry reasons, and we know that we're living in a different time and place, we have decided to take our Domestic Violence Awareness Month activities to social media. And what we've done this year is developed three hashtags for Twitter, and then we've developed a Facebook campaign. And if you'll indulge me for a moment, I'll tell you about all of those.
Sure, please do.
Okay, great. So the Facebook campaign is what we're calling Memorial Monday. And so every Monday we have four profiles of celebration of life of four people who have lost their lives due to domestic violence. Families have asked us over the years, and many times, you know, a week, I'd like to remember, or I'd like to have a memoriam for my daughter or my sister or whomever. This year, we thought we would do four of them. So every Monday, we did our first one last Monday, and there'll be another one coming up this Monday. But every month through the month of October, or every Monday through the month of October, we'll be doing a Facebook profile of a memorial for someone who's lost their life to domestic violence. And it's really about a celebration of life versus any of the details that may have brought an end to their lives. So we're really pleased with it, and the response to it has been overwhelming. It's been tremendous. We have so many requests to do it next year that we're already planning what that will look like for us next year. People don't often have a forum where they can talk about their loved ones' lives, and so it's been phenomenal. So that's our Facebook campaign, and then we've moved to Twitter for the month of October with three different hashtags. The first hashtag is Memorial Monday, so we're going to be doing the same thing on Twitter, and we're not allowing, but we're asking people to use the hashtag Memorial Monday if they'd like to use those 140 characters to talk about a loved one. That has also been quite successful. And every Monday we're seeing people identifying their loved ones. Then we have a second one, which is called Man Stand, and it's M-A-N-S-T-A-N-D. And it is asking men whose voices aren't often heard, and we really want to encourage them, because not only do we recognize that in some instances men are victims, but we want men to understand that we acknowledge and support their voices in the fight to end domestic violence. So we're asking men to use that hashtag to identify what they're doing about domestic violence during this month, whether it's teaching their children what healthy relationships are, whether they put on their purple shirt and went to work one day, or they're wearing their purple ribbon, or if they're a part of an organization that's doing something about violence against women. And we've seen a few responses to that. And then the third one is called...
We should sell purple ties as a fundraiser.
Oh, you're right. You know what? That's a great idea. And I don't know if you know this, but our vice president, anytime he's speaking about the Violence Against Women Act or domestic violence, he has on a purple tie. So I actually think that's a great idea.
I think so, too, because maybe some men are reluctant or feel it wouldn't be appropriate
absolutely.
To wear a purple shirt, but... a necktie, purple necktie.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic idea. I'm going to put it on the list for our store.
Exactly.
I guarantee you it will sell. It will.
Yeah, I'm always about the money. It's like we can't keep doing good work if we don't have funding to do it.
Right.
So I always, my gears are always, gearing up for what is that grinding, trying to figure out how we can make a buck so that we can keep doing the work.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I take any and all ideas. We absolutely do.
Okay.
And then the third one is called Domestic Violence Awareness Month Action. So it's DVAM Action. Uh-huh. And what we're asking people to do, in particular our local programs, is to use that hashtag on Twitter to talk about the interesting, creative, or standard things that they're doing for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We've had such things as one person asked everyone in the office to dye their hair purple and stated that elicited a lot of conversations and about why they were doing that. I bet it did.
I told you I have my purple streak in my hair.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Some communities are holding their rallies or their candlelight vigils, or some communities are having movie screenings, those kinds of things to elicit dialogue about domestic violence. So there's many, many different activities taking place, very creative thoughts and ways to raise awareness about domestic violence. So we're asking them to use that hashtag to get the message out.
Yeah. So, give us a call if your organization or you personally are doing something a little different to, or even something traditional that we've been doing about domestic violence awareness. The call-in number is 646-378-0430. That's 646-378-0430. And one of the things that I like so much about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, besides the fact that it lets people know and it brings it to the forefront for people to think about and hopefully learn about, is that so much about domestic violence is so sad. It is so sad and so hurtful. And this is a month, this is a time when, as you said, we can think about the good things. We can think about, the loved ones and what wonderful things they
mm-hmm.
did in
mm-hmm.
the world and what great people they were. We can think about, we can talk about good programs that are going on to help, women who are in this situation. And yes, people, I do say women, because the vast, vast majority of domestic violence victims are women, despite what you may see on the internet to the contrary. And it's a very positive time. It's not necessarily a time where we have to say, oh, this many people died, this many people are hospitalized, this many people have lifelong disabilities. It's a time when we can say, look what we're doing, and this is a positive thing to do, and you can do it too.
Right.
So. So let's talk about some of the other things that people are, and organizations are doing to acknowledge Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I know I'm based in the Seattle area, and I know out here a wonderful woman named Victoria Thromm, who works for the city of Covington, started a program called Purple Lights Night, or Purple Night Lights. I can't keep it straight. I think it's Purple Light Night. And what she did was talk the city into, how they always have the holiday lights out and everything. She convinced them to put purple lights out for the month
uh-huh.
of October
uh-huh.
to acknowledge Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And it grew like crazy. And the last I checked, there were something like 6 different countries that were participating.
Oh, my God.
There were states all over the place that were participating. It's just a wonderful, wonderful program, and it really does. Again, it's positive. You've got those purple lights out there, and people like looking at strung lights, and it can kind of trigger in them, hey, they're purple for a reason, and this is the reason. So she's done a great job all on her own of promoting a wonderful program. What are some of the other things that you've seen?
Well, there's a couple of really traditional and popular events that happen nationwide. One of the most popular, speaking of men being involved in this discussion and raising awareness, a lot of communities across the United States are doing a walk in a mile in her shoes. And
oh.
I don't know if you're familiar with that. But
oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yes, it's fun. They have a great time. Men get the opportunity to literally walk in women's shoes. They usually do a mile in high heels or pumps or those types of shoes. And it raises a really good way of talking about domestic violence. Like you said, so it's not all doom and gloom, but it offers the opportunity for people to have fun, but also recognize that women have a different walk than men do, and men are taking that opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I have seen that. I think, listeners, if you want to Google Walk a Mile in Her Shoes and see some of the – there's some video out there that is just hysterical, seeing these guys walking in these high-heeled shoes,
Yes, absolutely.
And I wonder how many of them go home and soak their feet after going a whole mile.
Right. I'm sure many of them do.
When I first saw that a couple years ago, I thought – where are they finding these high heels big enough for these guys?
Right.
But
I guess
they can find them.
Yes, absolutely. And then, other communities are just being really creative. We've heard of fundraisers at bowling alleys where you have to pay a certain amount to bowl, and you have to wear your purple shirt, and those types of things, particularly in the rural communities. They have to get pretty creative around what they're doing year to year, and they need to change up every year. So there's some more untraditional things occurring. Lots of film screenings as fundraisers and awareness. So just those kinds of things that are happening.
Yeah. We also, you were talking about the purple purse thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Explain that.
Yes. Well, there's several activities. Purple purse is only one of the similar types of activities where organizations are putting items up that are purple, and you get an opportunity to bid on them, and the winner gets the item, but there's a whole lot of education that occurs in the process of bidding, and I think that that's really creative and fun. The purple purse, there's a purple kit that I saw yesterday, and I'd have to go back and look at it, but it contains, you know, information and makeup and that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, that's the coolest thing ever. And I always don't like when I didn't think of it first. but I think communities and organizations and programs that are doing the hard work are really thinking of ways to not only educate, but I think you're right. It doesn't always have to be doom and gloom, and particularly when we're just trying to have a really good holistic conversation about it. So these organizations are really finding creative ways to address it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did a little homework, and I found out that in Ohio they're doing a number of different programs. One of them is produced by the YWCA, which, of course, is very involved in domestic violence issues. And instead of going with the purple, they went with the Red Door Project. And the reason is because it's a pop-up gallery called the Red Door, and
uh-huh.
they're going to present the real love, and I'm reading this, Domestic Violence Awareness Month theme to help promote healthy and positive relationships while increasing awareness of domestic violence prevention and assistance. The gallery welcomes artists who maybe don't see themselves as such and art buyers who are perhaps just beginning their collections to create and purchase unique works. So they're doing so many things with that project. You know, they're promoting healthy
yeah.
relationships. They're educating about domestic violence issues. They're helping artists and perhaps people who have experienced domestic violence in from one way or another to express their art. They're helping people start their. I just love this idea. I think it's great.
Yes, absolutely. I had not heard of it, but I will certainly look into it and.
Yeah, it's called the Red Door Project, and they're on Facebook.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. The other thing that I found that Ohio is doing so many things.
Wow.
And I was born and raised in Ohio, so I'm yay, Ohio.
Yeah.
They're doing a vigil, and of course I think most of us remember vigils as being about the only way that October was celebrated in years past.
Right.
And so they're, of course, going to do a candlelight vigil. And they're also going to do, they're having a regular, the Claremont County Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Task Force is having a luncheon.
Uh-huh.
And they have some pretty important speakers. From
mm-hmm.
law enforcement, prosecutor's office, and a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's been done in the past, but it's an oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
What are some of the other kind of unique programs you've heard about?
Well, I think what's really interesting as far as my experience over the past 2 or 3 years is more and more college campuses are getting involved in this, and they're doing really creative things. Such as, you know, when you walk on campus, the first thing you get is a purple ribbon, and you get the information about this. And I heard of one campus that did some kind of puppy race, and I apologize, I don't remember the details.
Oh,
but I thought, oh, that's really a cool idea. You know, you get you get to have fun while still raising awareness. And my personal opinion is that's the place I really do hope we're raising awareness and doing things that are creative to get kids involved, young people involved, young adults involved. I think the list is long, Heather, to be honest with you. The list is so long, I don't know that we'd be able to ever keep up with what people are doing creatively. I think you've hit on something that's really important and why people are getting creative is that I don't think anyone wants to have such doom and gloom anymore about the topic, and particularly for those that have been working in it for a long time. And in order to raise people's awareness, you need to engage them in other ways. And so the puppy race, I think, is a great example of that. If you've got a group of dog lovers who or non-dog lovers, or somebody who just would like to not necessarily have that discussion, don't get me wrong. I think the traditional approaches are still very good. But I think what we're doing is what we're seeing is that people are not only doing the traditional rallies, vigils, those types of things, but there's a month period where they can do other things. And I think that's what's happening, is that there's this, particularly on social media, a lot of stuff going on social media in regards to the different things that people are doing.
Yeah. One of the things that crossed my mind is, you know, you get me started on something and my mind just starts whizzing away at ideas.
Right.
With the pet thing, I could picture the pets all dressed. People love to dress their pets in costumes. I have a 136-pound dog, and she will not wear a costume, thank you very much.
Okay.
But people love to put their pets in costumes. If we did an event around dogs or pets and put them in purple costumes, maybe do a little parade or take them to visit, you know, therapy dogs go all over the place, you know. So if we could tie the purple in with the pet, maybe that would be an interesting way. Another thing that I saw was there's one group that wanted to kind of capitalize on Halloween. So they've developed treat bags to sell or to give away, I guess. And they're reflective treat bags, but they have the hotline number on them.
I'll be darn.
And so
children
can basically be distributing the hotline number
in
a safe way. And, and so, you know, that can bring some awareness, but it could also bring some safety, I think. So I was kind of impressed by that one, the Halloween treat bag.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, so the ability to compartmentalize them all. I really do hope that this next year that we take some time and think about the creative ways that people have done things, and there's probably a lot that can be replicated, throughout the United States that other people have done. And I mean, for some reason, the puppy race just sticks in my mind, and I'd love to see that happen. So.
Well, who doesn't like puppies?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Everybody loves puppies. I really like the idea of the artwork as well. You know, getting local businesses involved, I think, is a great idea. That's one of the reasons I like the Purple Lights campaign so much, is because they involve businesses. And, you know, go ahead and string some purple lights, and then, you know, it's not, what's it costing you for a string of purple lights,
right.
You know? It's just a great way to kind of just put that purple out there. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and I know that there have been several movements throughout the United States of communities asking their city governments and asking their local small business districts to do the same. I'm so glad that she's been successful, because I guarantee you it'll be replicated. She'll probably get a lot of calls to say, how did you make that happen?
an interesting thing. You know, I was talking to you about the Purple Lights Night in Oswego, New York. I don't know if anybody on the East Coast is Oswego's a little place in New York, but they have their annual Shine the Light on Domestic Violence campaign, and again using the color purple. To be shining, and they've got them at, instead of businesses, they're focused on colleges and things like public sculpture, public statues, you know, that kind of a thing. So again, with the purple, you know, let's just get that purple out there. You know, I have to tell you, purple is one of my least favorite colors, but I'm all purple in October.
Okay, great. Yeah, and it just so happens it's my favorite, so it all works out for me.
But the creativity, I think, in people, and you mentioned a good point about how to tailor. You have to look at your community to tailor. You know, I mean, I know I grew up in a very poor environment, and when they would have luncheons or something like that for some sort of a cause, that was just not something that my demographic went to. just didn't go to.
Absolutely.
You know, you didn't have extra money to pay for a luncheon, let alone like a $25 luncheon or something, you know.
Right.
So you really have to look at your community and see if it's a bowling community or a luncheon community or an outdoor hiking community. You know, people have runs and walks all the time to support causes. This would be a great time to do it for domestic violence, unless you're in one of those really, really cold, snowy states. let me see. I looked at the Silent Witness, and in Nova Scotia they're doing that. And in Broward County they're doing that. Broward County actually has, they have involved campuses and churches and restaurants and children's clothing centers. I mean, they just really have gone out of their way and really made this kind of a community event.
Right.
So I think sometimes when we think of Broward County, we think of things that are rather grim. But, boy, these they're a roller skating derby.
Yes.
They're doing a roller skating derby.
And I know of at least a couple of golf tournaments that I've heard about where you know, you get to play golf, and I know particularly for the larger victim services organizations that that's really attractive because it's a way that, let's be honest, mostly men, well, I shouldn't say mostly men, but it's attractive to men for men to play golf. And if they're out there chipping away, then they get to play golf and make donations to domestic violence shelters, and you provide information to them when they come to play golf. So, yeah. I actually like the roller derby idea a lot.
I do, too, you know, because people are more active now than they used to be. They don't want to just, you know, turn out. They want to turn out for something.
Right.
And do something, even, you know, if it's not directly working with the group, they want to do something besides just sit there.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like that one, too. I mean, I would never get on roller skates myself.
Me either.
When I was a kid, we used to ice skate. And the first time I went out ice skating, of course, we went on ponds. We didn't have, you know, ice skating rinks or anything. And I was just beginning to learn how to, you know, go on my roller skate or my ice skates. And I went, foomp, over this little bump, and I looked down, and it was a fish frozen in the ice. And I just ran right over it and cut it in half, and that was it. I've never been on ice skates again.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
It was very traumatic for me running over that frozen fish.
You poor thing. Never been on ice skate on my in my entire life, and now I know why. So,
Well, with the rinks, you don't have to worry about running over fish. But
that's right.
Yeah, but it was a shock to me. I just
right.
So the creative ideas out there, there just seems to be no end to them. If you're doing something in your community that you think is a little different or a little helpful, give us a call 646-378-0430. And I think one of the things that we're talking about here, Ruth, is that you got to make it something that's not just gloom and doom.
Right.
Because people get gloom and doom. I do a lot of public speaking on domestic violence, and I always object to the what I call dusting off and dragging out the victim.
Mm-hmm.
It seems
mm-hmm.
like the only time that a lot of organizations want to incorporate victims is to mm-hmm. share their experiences at the fundraisers.
Yes, yes.
And I just object to that so much. I find that just really counterproductive because when a victim tells her story, there is so much in that story, so much, and she only tells a little fraction of her story. And yet you can see people, you know, when they hear about the first incident, they have sympathy. When they hear about the second incident, they still feel sorry for this woman. By the time you're at the fifth or sixth incident, they're starting to think, what's wrong with that woman?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they just kind of shut down. They don't want to hear anymore. It's too painful. And so I think we have to be really judicial and really evaluate the benefit of sharing some of the horror that women have gone through with this. I think it needs to be in small doses, and I think it needs to be really judicial. And Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a chance for us to focus on, as you said, the more positive aspects. Look how many people are involved. Look at how much of the community is involved. And look at the wonderful things that we're doing to help domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I think is important is realizing that people want to do something. They want to have some fun, and they want to participate, and we just have to be really creative about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So when in history, in historically, in your career, have organizations other than domestic violence organizations ever taken on DV Awareness Month?
Yes, I got an interesting call yesterday that was just fabulous. A gentleman who has a workplace solutions business. What he did is last year, they had another project that they, every year this particular organization has to pick projects or a social responsibility project, so to speak. And so this is definitely a corporation. And his experience last year for the homeless activities that they were doing helped him realize that a lot of the women that they were encountering as they were doing these projects over the week's worth of time were domestic violence victims. And he said, I didn't realize. I had no idea. So they began their year-long project this month, and it's going to be centered around domestic violence. And so they are doing a lot of different things, not just this month, but throughout the year for domestic violence. They're a national corporation, so they've and I don't feel at liberty to discuss it yet because he's supposed to get a press release to me soon.
Okay.
But they have four locations throughout the United States. So each of those locations have chosen a local program that they're working with, and they're doing things, the typical things, the traditional things like donation drives and such. But they're also doing other creative things, which is partnering individuals from the workplace corporation with a survivor who may be on her way out of the program, and this person is helping them build their resume and do some things that are really empowering for that survivor. So that's a corporation that is doing something pretty creative, because so not only are they just saying, you know, let's be aware of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but they're actually doing activities that are really helpful, and they plan to keep the mentoring project going for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful.
You know, until next October.
Sure, and that's wonderful to carry it out through the year.
Yes.
You know, I made a little list of some of the activities, you know, that I saw on the internet, doing my little internet search, and another cute idea I thought was to have a dance.
Oh, yeah.
There's a group that's having a dance
mm-hmm.
to honor that, and I know in our area there are two or three great places where they teach dancing, and
uh-huh.
so it'd be great to have some sort of community dance and click on with them. So again, the ideas are endless.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
anything
yeah.
that's fun, I think, can be used as an opportunity to educate. I absolutely think that. Believe
yeah.
that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that I would like to talk about is that, you know, why October? I've always wondered that. Do you know why October?
You know, I think it was born out of, and Heather, you're very aware of this. I've been involved in domestic violence for 20-plus years, but just became the executive director here 6 months or 6 weeks ago. See, it feels like
oh,
6 months.
Welcome
so,
aboard.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's been a fascinating and wonderful 6 weeks. But I think it was born out of the Day of Unity. And I think NCADV at that time looked at the Day of Unity and said, what else can we do? If we're talking about unifying people, then we've got to make sure that we're addressing what a particular population of the United States is facing, which is domestic violence. And so they capitalized on that and decided to make it a month of education and awareness. And thus it was born, and all programs and organizations that deal with domestic violence find ways to ensure that their community is educated and has become aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think so, too. And I think that all of these activities that we're talking about help the community become aware, and they help. It helps them in a way that's not, you know, I mean, obviously domestic violence is a difficult topic. Obviously,
absolutely,
it's bad. By emphasizing the sadness, sometimes people won't jump on board. So by emphasizing the positive things about what we're doing and what's happening in this field, I think is also a wonderful way to bring people
absolutely
on board.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Well, tell us, you know, I didn't give a very good introduction to you, Ruth, when we started our conversation. Do you want to just briefly explain your background and how you got to where you are today?
Well, absolutely. It's interesting how I got where I am today. I am a Colorado transplant. So I've been in Colorado the past 30 years. I am a survivor of violence, domestic violence. I've been safe for 22 years. I've been involved in the work of domestic violence for about 20 years once I realized that I had a passion for making something different happen. And so I've been doing that for 22 years, volunteering, that type of thing. During that 20 years, I worked for the state of Colorado and worked for them for 28 years. The last 10 of those 28 years, I was the director of the State of Colorado Domestic Violence Program. Wonderful work, but mostly on the funding administration side. And October of last year, I decided to retire from the state and try to do something different. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do something different. And sat around for a few months, which was really good. I needed a break. And then this opportunity presented itself with the vacancy in the ED position for the National Coalition. And I decided I would like to do that. And so here I am. And I've been here since August 4th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
My friends tease me endlessly about retirement. We thought you were retired. But I got to tell you.
I've got to tell you, I know so many people who don't retire. You know,
yeah,
they just move
yeah
to a different field or a different job. Yeah, it's
yeah
just amazing. And I, of course, am at the age where I need to look at that as well. I think, no way.
Right,
as a
right,
matter of fact,
yeah,
I'm still going to school. I'm working on my dissertation for my PhD. It's just, you know, if I ever live long enough to actually get this sucker, I'm
right
astounded.
Well, I'm impressed by you, though. It's one of the things that I have wanted to do and just thought, nah, thinking no.
Well, you know, when I first started, of course, we talked about before how we both were are graduates of the UC Denver School of Domestic Violence.
Yes.
And, you know, you were a couple years before me. You were cohort 2 or 1?
Yes, 2.
2. So that means
yes
you were the second group to go through.
Yes,
I was cohort 7, I think, 6 or 7.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was 6 or 7. It's been a while,
yeah,
so I forget.
All I knew is I wasn't in number 1. That I remember
yeah
very clearly. But it was a brand new program when I got there, and I'm certain it
yeah
was cohort 2.
Oh, it was just, I found it was just such an enlightening program for me.
Yes.
It really did. It changed my life. It changed the focus of my work. It did everything. Even though I knew I would not be able to be one of those people that works one-on-one with counseling,
yes,
I couldn't do that. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So
I appreciate
yeah
anyone that can come to that and be able to say that's not where I'd like to put my energy, but there are so many other ways that we can be involved in the movement to end domestic violence. So
yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I think that there are so many ways, and I think that's the beauty of October for us in the domestic violence
yes
field, is to let people know how many ways there are where you can help. It doesn't have to be counseling victims. Not everybody
right
cut out to do that. I certainly am not. I'd either be sitting there in a puddle crying with them, or I'd be going, oh,
right,
get over it.
You're right, right. Right.
Even though intellectually I know it's not that easy, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So we both come from the University of Colorado Denver program, which if anybody is out there, look it up. It is a great program if you're considering learning more about this field. And I wonder, now they have a criminal justice degree.
Yes.
When you and I went through, it was all public administration.
Yes.
But now
yes.
they have the criminal justice one, which is great, you know,
oh,
for people who work
jealous.
In that field.
Right.
Yes, I am too.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean, it's certainly a concentration that I would have taken.
Me too.
I mean,
I
really do
that.
Appreciate my concentration in public administration, but I would have totally appreciated that the criminal justice perspective.
Exactly. I would have done the exact same thing. You know, I would have. It would have been helpful, I think, for
yes.
me and the track I'm going on. But the point is, there's and what I find now is that I tend to focus a lot on the research out there, which I find fascinating. A lot of people are not into the research stuff, but I find it fascinating to know what's going on and what people are thinking. And I just find that fascinating. So, okay, so let's talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month in the future. What's it going to be like next year? Have you seen participation increasing? What's your best guess?
My best guess and the trends that we're seeing is that I really do think, and unfortunately it's certainly due mostly to recent events, we're seeing the conversation continue in a way that we've never seen it continue before or ongoing. So I think it's been, unfortunately for the people involved, it's been interesting to watch that this has not died down. So the conversation that began at the end of August due to the NFL events has really not stopped. Usually we see a spike and, you know, it's been an event and people move on. The conversation has continued, and I think October fell, the Awareness Month fell as a perfect timing with all of this. And I think that not only are we seeing wonderful, fabulous things happening this year around awareness, I don't think it's going to change. I think we're going to see more and more. My staff and I talked about it last week, and we just feel very strongly that we're going to see more and more social media around it. We're going to see more and more activities in local communities. And I firmly believe that we will see more national activities, and certainly from our organization, but other national organizations. So I think we are just on the cusp of some really good things in regards to raising awareness and moving more towards intervention and prevention than just the tragic stories. And
yeah.
I don't mean to say just as though they're minimal, because
yeah.
I still feel very strongly that no one should have to endure domestic violence, but I think we are seeing a different trajectory.
Well, and I think that we've also become a more, or at least a lot of people, not everyone, of course, not everyone believes in domestic violence. I mean, I was walking the dog not too long ago and ran into an ex-NFL player.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him what he thought about the Ray Rice situation. And he hasn't played professionally for quite some time. And his response was, well, you don't know what she did to provoke it. And I practically screamed. I practically
yes.
screamed. But the guy was 6'5", and, you know...
Yeah.
So I thought, no, I'll just nod and say, oh, that's how you feel. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But,
well, that is not uncommon.
Yeah. So
yeah.
when I, you know, we're in rather an isolated environment in a lot of ways, because we work with people who get it, who understand
yes.
it.
Yeah.
And we forget sometimes that there's a whole population out there that may or may not get it.
Right.
So that, of course, is the whole purpose of the DV Awareness Month.
Yes.
But I think that we've also seen a shift a little bit, or an expansion, not really a shift. Our expansion of understanding of domestic violence is not just bruises and broken bones.
Right.
You
I
know,
agree.
People they're starting to understand that psychological,
yes.
emotional abuse can be devastating.
Yes. And I actually think that's also the change in the conversation that I've never seen before, is I think that there's You're right, because we get to talk to people that get it. But the people, for instance, I'll just give you an example. I've probably done 50 media interviews over the past 3 weeks, simply because of the events of last month. But the questions are so different now, and they really are exactly what you've just said. So we know domestic violence is about physical abuse, but can you talk about some of the other issues that occur? And it's been fabulous. I think we have this wonderful opportunity to educate people in a way that we never have before. And about those particular things, what are the dynamics of domestic violence? What does domestic violence look like? It's, well, it's not always physical. It's this, it's that. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think it is helpful for victims to understand, too. Because, you know, 20 years ago, a woman who was being psychologically bashed, and I know a lot of them, would literally think, just hit me. If you hit me, then I know I can get out without being, you know, perceived as the bitch.
Yes.
And that sounds shocking, but I know many women who have actually confessed that to me. They equated what they were experiencing with less than abuse.
Right.
When in fact it was very abusive. And a lot of the research shows that women who have experienced both physical and non-physical abuse would much rather be abused physically if they had to go through it again rather than psychologically.
Right.
Broken bones mend. It's really hard to mend your brain.
Yes.
So, you know, good on Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Whoever came up with it was a genius.
Right. And unfortunately, I can't take credit for it.
Oh, darn.
Darn it.
Well, we have to talk about those ties. We need to come out with a way to do that.
Right.
You know, find a designer to donate his or her time, and we'll come up with DV ties for the guys to join in October.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or, you know, it doesn't have to be just October, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
They can make it pretty enough so these guys will want to wear it all the time.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's in the future for you personally as in your new position?
Well, I think it's, again, an exciting time. I feel really blessed because this is the work that I've always wanted to do. I felt a little... It didn't have the same freedom to be an advocate activist as I in my other role as I do now. So personally, I'm hoping that we can continue to move the issue forward in a way that's the most helpful for victims and survivors, as well as those that can make an influence on our society about violence against women and domestic violence. So personally, I just feel re-energized and good about what I am doing now, and I hope I'm doing it right, but it's been a great time. And I hope to be here for a little while affecting some kind of change or helping to affect some change. So that's for me personally. I have no desire, well, I do, but I don't have the energy to get my PhD, so I'll just share that with you. I applaud you for doing that.
Somebody once said to me, "Oh, you do so much. How do you do it all?" And I said, "Easy. I do it all half-assed."
Exactly. Yes.
No problem.
Yeah, not a problem. It's all half done, so we're good.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
What about National Coalition? What's in the future for the National Coalition?
You know, I sound like a broken record, but I feel really excited about what our future is. I think we are on the cusp of really being a part of this national movement in a different way. I think that dialogue is different now. I'm so excited about that. I think that the means by which we educate is different now. I think we have organizations that we're looking forward to working with, and I mean really major organizations and workplaces and those kinds of things, and really affecting a culture change throughout the United States, and particularly you know, the society influencers, so to speak, and that would be large corporations and organizations and such. So I'm hoping that you and I have this conversation again next October, and it'll be a conversation about the fabulous things that have happened over the year.
Great.
Yeah.
And by that time, hopefully, knock wood, I'll have that PhD.
There we go, and we'll be celebrating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I told my kids, I said, you know, if I ever actually get this thing, you're going to have to put it on my tombstone. Promise me.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'll be the only one in the cemetery with initials after my name.
Right.
Speaking of which, you know, in my process of doing my dissertation, one of the things that we do is to look for funding for our research.
Uh-huh.
Does the National Coalition ever do that, or are you aware of organizations that do? If a woman has an idea for research, you know, do you have any ideas for people like that?
That would not be something that we can absolutely help with. We can put you in touch with people that, you know, you or anyone else, we can put someone in touch with somebody that might be able to help them. Our work is really around helping the local programs and then certainly making sure that we have the support and resources that we need to do the job. So we'd be happy to help anyone that has, you know, we're happy to be here for anybody that has any question or desire or need of resources or referral. So we do a lot of that. But our focus is really on how we can best support those local programs that are providing direct services, and then particularly and especially doing our own fundraising so that we can continue to do that work. So,
yeah. Well, we'll come up with a line of clothes.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm thinking. Purple boots, purple tie.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful. Those rubber rain boots that everybody's wearing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Umbrellas. Oh, gosh,
yeah.
There's a whole world
yeah,
out
the
there.
The list goes on and on.
We'll talk.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have enjoyed this day. I've enjoyed this conversation with you, Ruth, and I wish you all the best. Now, every state has a state coalition. Am I right?
Yes.
Is there any state
yes.
that
or
does not
coalition.
Have one?
Yes. Now, I'm
okay.
unaware of a state that does not have one, but I believe that every state has a coalition or a coalition-like organization. Yes, correct.
Okay. All right, okay. And so if you would like to learn more about your state coalition, just look them up. And it would be, for example, here in Washington, it's the Washington Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And you can learn more about your state. And if you need to have more information about the resources available close to you, call the DV hotline, 1-800-799-7233. 799-7233. That's the national hotline for giving information and help to people who are experiencing domestic violence. I usually end our show, Ruth, with a request that if there's any brief message you'd like to give our listeners, please do so now.
Absolutely. You gave the hotline number. I also want your listeners to know that there is a new online database, never happened before. But we are sponsoring a database called domesticshelters.org. Again, that's domesticshelters.org. You can put in your city and your zip code and find the nearest program that you either need to contact for resources and referral, or if you want to donate and provide funding or help or offer yourself to them as a volunteer. And so domesticshelters.org is new, and we're excited to be sponsoring that.
And shelters can use so many things, from personal
yes.
product to, of course, money to toys
yes.
for children. I mean, there are so many ways to be helpful to a shelter.
Yes.
Well, I thank you, Ruth, for being with us. I like to end our show with a quote, and today I actually have two quotes. This first one is from Selma Hayek. Am I saying her name right? Selma Hayek?
Hayek.
The actress? Hayek.
Yes, Hayek.
Okay. And she says, If you give me any problem in America, I can trace it down to domestic violence. It is the cradle of most problems, economic, psychological, educational.
Wow.
And I think that in many ways that's true. You know,
yeah.
we have so many, like you said, the homeless people who people don't really realize that a lot
right.
of those women are homeless because of domestic
yes.
violence. You can always trace
yes.
it back. And the final quote is from Bill Cosby.
Uh-huh.
The main goal of the future is... stop violence. The world is addicted to it.
Yes.
And I think that's a whole other show, but I think that's very true. So thank you again for being with us. If you would like to hear the show again or give the direction for somebody else to hear the show, you can go to the website, which is blogtalkradio.com/3women3ways. That's the digit 3, 3 women, 3 ways. And you can log into any of our previous episodes and enjoy with, you know, what we have to say there and learn from what we have to say there. And I must say, Ruth, I've been doing this almost 3 years now. So we have a lot of really wonderful topics in that archive.
Wonderful.
So thank you for being with us, and thank you for listening. Please join us next week.